Good evening and welcome to Faith Life Depot. My name's Apostle Milton Jones. I want to thank you for taking time out to join us tonight. Tonight we're going to jump right into the Word, if I was to give this message a title, I would talk to you about the laws of confession. The laws of confession. Now, the laws of confession, if you really think about it, people say, "Oh, there he go. There he goes with that blab it and grab it, that name it and claim it." But if you make a decision from the very beginning to open your ears so that you can hear, open your eyes that you may be able to see, but more so open your heart that you may be able to receive the engrafted word of God that will ultimately change your life forever, I guarantee you it will change your life forever. You got to understand that for so many people, they think that the reason why they're having the issues they're having is because this person is against them, or because of their color, or because of their sex, or because, of their financial status, or because of where they work, or because of where they live, or because of who their mama was, or their daddy was, or all these different external factors. But I'm going to show you over the next few weeks through the Word of God that your situation today, the answer to your problem today, is a lot closer than what you may think. The answer and the solution to your problem to turn your life around for the good is a lot closer than you think. Now, over the last few weeks, we was talking about, you're at the crossroads. And during that time of talking about the crossroads, we were talking about, your first step, you had to receive correction, which simply means that you had to bring things back into their original state. And then once you receive that correction, then you had to make a decision that you were going to accept the direction, because whenever there's correction, there has to be an adjustment in your direction. That's the same thing it means when you're talking about repentance. Repent, to repent simply means to change your mind, change your thinking, change your actions, and go in a different direction. Then, once you receive the correction, you made a decision to receive, to make the adjustments for in your direction, the next thing that had to go on is you receive protection. Protection from what? Protection from different hurt, harms, or danger. Because it's kind of like if you're riding down the highway and you start hearing your GPS system tell you to going one way, but you make a decision, "I'm gonna do it my way. I know a shortcut. My mama been this way before, my brother's been this way before, Pookie Ray Ray, they've been this way before, so I'm gonna go a different direction." But while you're going a different direction, do you ever notice that if you turn and get off of that direction, the GPS system is always trying to redirect you to the original route to which it told you to take, because it already knows all the potholes, all the traffic jams, all the construction areas, all those things that were hinder your progress? But if you don't make a decision to receive the direction and follow it all the way so you can retain the protection, then what will end up happening is you won't get to the perfection, which means where you bring all things to its fullness. And part of that issue that's been going on in everybody's life is because of the issues that you've had with the power of your tongue. Your words are either building your life, or your words are bringing destruction in your life. And I'm going to show you over the next few weeks exactly what that looks like. Are you interested? Are you ready to go? All right, here we go in the name of Jesus. Now, why are we talking about words? Why is words so important? Why do everybody keeps going back to words? Because everything that operates according to the kingdom of God operates according to the word. If you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, when God was talking to Adam and Eve, when he was talking to Adam, he spoke words to Adam and gave Adam instructions according to his words. And when Adam, as long as Adam operated according to his word, or the word that was spoken, then Adam received exactly what it is that God's word said. But the moment that Adam and Eve decided to make a choice to go against what it is the word that God has said and accept the word that the adversary said, then they receive something altogether different. And see, this is Ezekiel, and that's the exact same thing that's happening in your life today, and in my life today, and in the life of people all over the world. This happens whether you're saved or unsaved. The words that come out of your mouth are either producing life or they're producing death. In fact, it says it in Proverbs 18:21. He says, "Death and life are in the power of your tongue." It's not saying what Bobby and them say about you, is what do you say about yourself? You know, many years ago, I was walking in this establishment, and I was walking with a friend of mine, and these gentlemen said this derogatory term to me, and they were saying it, and I guess they were supposed to be talking to me because they kept saying it over and over again. And the more, and I just kept looking around because I'm like, I know they're not talking about me because that's not what I answer to. That's not how I see myself. That's not what defines me. So the more they kept saying it, the more they kept saying it. And finally they said, "What are you looking at?" I said, "I'm looking for that individual that you're talking about, because those words that you're using towards me does not identify who I am." And just like you hear other people who may be in your life, you know, who may be speaking words of bitterness, they may be speaking words of harshness, they might be speaking words of "you're no good, you're stupid, you're never going to be anybody, you're never going to achieve anything, you're never going any further than where you are today." Just because they said it does not make it so. It only makes it so if you agree with what it is that they said. Did you hear that? If you agree with what it is they said, then you begin to say those same things about yourself. And when you begin to say those same things about yourself, you begin to act out on what it is that you're saying. Because when you begin to make use words, words begin to form a image or a picture in your mind. And as a man or woman thinks in their heart, so they become. It didn't say God made it that way. It says because that's the way they saw themselves. So that's what they became. The power of your tongue. There is power in your tongue. Now, why is that important? You got to look at how the adversary used. Remember, when he came to Adam and Eve in the garden in the form of a serpent, he didn't come with some little magic trick. He came, and what he did is he took the words that God said and he perverted them, or he twisted them and turned them into something that was worse. How did he go about doing it? He said, "Did God really say you couldn't eat of all the trees of the garden?" And Eve was like, "Nah, we could eat of all the trees of the garden, but that one tree that's in the midst of the garden, we should not eat it, nor shall we even touch it." Now, what got Eve off is the fact that she added to what it is that God had already said. And God says, in this time and in this season, you cannot afford to add to or take away from what God's written word has already said to you and to me. You want to know why you can't do that? Because when you look at what the adversary did, he took what God had already said and he added things to it, and he took things away. How did he do it? He said this in Genesis chapter 3. He said this. He says, "You should not really die. You should not really die." But God said we was going to die. Nah. You won't really die, because see, God already knows that the moment that you eat of that tree, you will be just like him, knowing good and evil. Now, up to this point, the only thing Adam and Eve knew was good, but what the adversary said was not all the way, it was not fully a lie. But how many people know that anything from the full truth is still a lie? You can lie by way of omission, and you can lie by way of commission. What is the difference between the two? When you're lying by omission, you lie because you leave certain parts of that story out. Which and for each and every person who does that, it's still a lie. There's no such thing as a little black, little white lie. There's no such thing as a little bitty fib. There's no such thing as I'm just going to say this partial truth. And see, that partial truth is still a lie. And guess what will happen when you only speak partial truth? You will not see the full fruition of what the word has to say over your life. Because you are not speaking and saying what it is God said to say about your situation. The adversary took the word of God. He twisted it. That's what wickedness means. It means wicked means it's twisted like a wicker basket. It's twisted. He took what was true. He twisted it just a little bit to pervert it, to make it a lie. How do you know that he will do that? He did the same thing with Jesus. He took the words that God said in Psalms 91, talking about he'll give his angel special charge over you to keep you in all of your ways, lest you dash your foot against the stone. The adversary used that word, but he used that word out of proper context. And because he used that word out of proper context, even though the word that he spoke was truth, because he took it out of context, he made it into a lie. He was trying to get Jesus to prove himself, which means Jesus would be operating in pride, no different than for you if somebody tries to say, man, you think you somebody, you ain't nobody, and then you spend your life trying to prove to somebody that you are somebody. Man, I don't even waste my time with that. If somebody has this opinion, man, you know, God bless you, the blood of Jesus over you, I just keep it moving. Why? Because if their opinion doesn't match God's opinion of me, their opinion doesn't matter to me at all. God said I'm the head and not the tail. God says I'm above only and never again beneath. God says I'm blessed coming in and blessed going out. God says I'm the lender and never again to borrow. God's word says that I'm the healed. God says I'm the rich. God says I'm the prosperous. God says I'm whole. God says I'm righteous. If your words don't line up with those words, then what your word says doesn't matter to me at all. But it's not just enough for you to have head knowledge of those things. You have to have those words in your heart. Why do you have to have those words in your heart? Because deception is running rampant, even in the body of Christ. You have people who are standing behind pulpits each and every week, spewing stuff, self-help stuff, motivational speaking, all political things that don't even line up with the word of God. We found all this out when it was going through this election last time. Man, there's all kind of stuff that's out there. People were saying all kind of stuff. People were saying this person was the Esther, and people said this, and people said that. And the thing about it is people say all kind of things, but the reason why you got to be so mindful about the things that you listen to and what you hear and what you watch is because, and what you say is because out of your mouth, you will either be speaking life or you'll be speaking death. You'll be either speaking blessings or you'll be speaking curses out of your own mouth. How do the words get into you? The same way when your mom and daddy was teaching you about the ABCs and the 1, 2, 3s. How did they do it? They kept saying it out of their mouth. It came into your ears. It went down into your heart. The more that they said it, the more you heard it, the more you repeated it. The more that they said it, the more you heard it, the more that you repeat it. Then they start using flashcards, and they start using flashcards. Now they're using two methods. They're using what you see and what it is that you're hearing. And it's what most people don't realize, it's a biblical principle. Because it says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, it talks about how you are to incline your word, incline to his words. Let me just read it for you here. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 says it this way. He says to my son, give attention to my words, incline your ears, open your ears to my sayings. Don't let these words depart from before your eyes. Who told you when you pray, you got to pray with your eyes closed? You know why people pray with their eyes closed? So that they can be focused and block everything else out. But you know what? You can open up the word, because the word is the constitutional agreement between you and the Father. And when you begin to speak his word back to him, Father, your word says this. Therefore, I believe I have a blood-bought right to receive that in my life. What are you doing? You're using the power of your tongue, and you're saying back to God what God has already said unto you. Remember, God's word never returns to him void, and according to Isaiah 55:9, his word does not return unto him void. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. How does God do the things that he does? God uses his words. God sends forth his word, and his word, which goes forth out of his mouth, will not return to him void. But when he sends his word to you, and then you repeat his word back to him, then what does God do? According to Jeremiah 1, he watches over his word to perform it. He watches over his word to perform it. But if you don't understand the power of your words, you will be saying all kind of things. You know, in Romans chapter 10, it talks about how your mouth is an open-ended weapon, and your mouth is either blowing, is taking out things that your enemy's trying to bring up against you, or you're turning that weapon, which is your mouth, on yourself. And when you begin to say things against yourself, see things against your kids, you're never going to be anything. You're just like your dad. You're going to be a deadbeat. You're just like your mama. Your mama wasn't no good. Your grandmama no good. Your great-great-grandmama's no good. When you begin to use your words, through the power of your words, you begin to bring either life or destruction, blessing or cursing. And when you use your words against other people, including yourself, you're either going to produce a life of blessing, or you'll create a life of destruction. When God created the heavens and the earth, he used his words. When he formed man, when he made man, he created man, he used his words. When he spoke to man, he spoke a blessing over man. When he spoke the blessing over man, he told man, he says, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue the earth. He says, I want you to always be producing, always be increasing, always be filling and refilling, and have authority and dominion over your situations and your circumstances. When he created man, he created man using words. And then he doubled down on it, and he says, I made you in my image and my likeness. In other words, I created you to be just like me. So the way I create my, God says, the way I create my world is through my words. He says, by the way you will create your world is by your words. How do you know that? Because the children of Israel, when they was in Numbers chapter 14, or 13 and 14, and he had brought them out of Israel, brought them out of Egypt and was bringing them into the promised land, they kept continually saying that, God, you brought us out here to die. Why did you just leave us in Egypt? We could have just died right there. We just could have been serving them. We could have just been doing this. And why did you bring us out into this wilderness to kill us? Even though they had already seen many miracles, they had already seen many God do impossible things, that they knew there was no other way that those things could happen. In fact, they'd even seen the whole Red Sea be split. Somebody said that God, it wasn't really a sea, it was just a river. Okay, so that makes it even greater, because he split the river and they walked over the river. In fact, though it was a Red Sea, they walked over the river, and guess what happened? That same body of water, their adversaries who was coming after them, their enemies who were coming after them, they tried to cross that same river. And when the last Egyptian Israelite crossed over the Red Sea, it says the seas came back in and took out all their enemies. So if you're saying that God drowned an entire army in a river of water, man, that just makes the testimony even better. But it was a sea. Point being is this: your words, the power of your tongue, they're either producing life or it's producing death. It's creating blessings or it's creating curses. And the same worry that the adversary, that the same way what God will use your words to produce life, the same way the adversary will take your words, the power of your tongue, and bring about death in your or destruction or chaos in your situation. You got to understand, when Jesus prophesied back in Matthew chapter 24, he says, in the latter times, what will happen is that, he says, his disciples was asking, hey, Jesus, how do you, what, give us an indication, or what is the indicators that you will, what he says, they said, tell us, when will all these things happen? And what will be the sign or the indicators we can expect to signal your coming and the completion of this age? And the first thing that Jesus said is that at that time, deception will run rampant. Deception is taking something that is true, twisting it to make it into a lie, and presenting it as truth. He says deception is going to be running rampant. So beware that you are not fooled. The whole goal behind deception is to fool you. And the bad part about deception is people who are deceived don't realize that they are deceived. If you have anything else going on in your life other than the word of God, which is truth, then you will begin to believe a lie and swear up and down it is the truth. But what was the antidote for this deception? What was it that Jesus said was going to be used to be able to bring people out of deception? What was he said was going to be used to be able to bring you out of darkness into the marvelous light? He said here in John, Matthew 24, 14, he says this. He says, and this gospel of the kingdom of God will be proclaimed all over the world, providing every nation with a demonstration of the reality of God. And after that, the end of this age will come. He says this gospel, the word of God concerning the kingdom of God, God's governing system, impacting his will over a territory or a domain, will come first. People will have an opportunity to hear this gospel of the kingdom. And once they all hear it, they'll have an opportunity to act out according to it. And he says, and if they make a decision to do so, they shall be saved. But if you make a decision not to, if you make a decision to turn yourself to a deaf ear, if you continue to buy into the lie that, according to Isaiah 5 and 20, where people will begin to say good is evil and evil is good, and people will begin to say that light is darkness and darkness is light, and they'll try to replace bitter with sweet and sweet with bitter. He says, and they'll be wise in their own eyes and clever in their own minds. He says, when you begin to get high on your own supply, he says, to the point where you can't receive anybody's the truth of God's word, and you begin to say, I have my own truth. It may be true that you believe it, but it does not mean that it is the truth. Remember, when Adam and Eve was in the garden, what Satan said was true. It was true that he said it, but it was not the truth according to the word of God. And when you don't let the word of God be the final authority in your life, and you get into situations and circumstances that cause you to get go through trials and tribulations, and if you don't have the word of God in your heart, not in your head, because if it's in your head, if I can talk you into it, somebody else can talk you out of it. But when it's in your heart, kind of like your ABCs and the 1, 2, 3s, people might try to tell you that 2 + 2 = 5, but because it's not in your head, but in your heart, you believe with your heart, not with your head. And you reason with your head, but you believe with your heart. God has already said, in this year, this is a year of acceleration. Acceleration in wisdom, acceleration in revelation, acceleration in manifestation, acceleration in prosperity, acceleration in healing, acceleration in deliverance, acceleration in promotions. All these things are made available to you. But if your words don't line up with his words, then you will not see what it is that his word has said. Do you understand that? Do you receive that? Now the thing about this though is how do you know if somebody really believes what it is that they just heard? How do you know if somebody received what it is that they just heard? How do you know that somebody has really opened their eyes and opened their ears and opened their hearts to lay hold of what it is God's word says? How do you know? How do you really know what somebody believes about a situation or circumstances? By the words that come out of their mouth. It says this in Matthew chapter 12, 34. It says it this way, and this is where we're going to stop. Until next time, because next time we're going to be lying out, what do you have to do in order to get the word of God into your heart, not just in your head? But this is what it says in Matthew chapter 12, 34 says, he says, you brood of vipers. He says, don't you know that out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak? You think it's because of some of the things that you know, the little off gesture things that you might say. If you really want to know what's in somebody's heart, all you got to do is listen to the words that are coming out of their mouth. Your words will paint the picture. Your words will tell the story. Your words will either produce life or they will produce death. They'll produce healing or they'll produce destruction. You are the determining factor. And let me share this with you. God needs you to repeat his words in order for his will to be done in the earth. The adversary needs you to repeat his words in order for his will to be done in the earth. Is called the law of confession. Confession brings about possession. The same, how do you know that? Because it's the same way in which you get born again. How do you receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? It's so simple, a child can do it. Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10 says it this way. He says, what do you say? The word is not you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. It's the word of faith, which we preach, that if you confess, acknowledge with your mouth that Jesus was, that he is Lord, and that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. He says, for with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You can't just say that you believe it and don't say it. You can't just say it and not believe it, because you can say it and not really believe it, or you can say you believe it and then never say it. He says it's the dynamic duo. You got to confess what it is that you believe, and you got to believe what it is that you confess. Confession brings about possession. I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. And it's as simple as making this confession out of your mouth. Say this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. I believe he died for me. On the cross, he carried my sins for me. I believe he was put in the grave, but I believe he's alive right now. Lord Jesus, I confess, come into my heart. Save me right now. I acknowledge my sin and I turn from them now. I confess Jesus as Lord over my life. From this day forward, I am yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, it's really that simple. It's really that simple. Confess out of your mouth what you believe in your heart. Confess out of your mouth what it is you believe in your heart. And next week, when we come back together, we're going to be talking about how do we get the word of God on the inside of our hearts. On behalf of Pastor Joy and myself, I want to thank you for joining us here today, and we'll see you next time. Have a great day. Bye-bye.